Good morning.
Good morning.
Family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. And for those of us who have found us on their radio at 96.9 San Antonio, we are located at 4071 North Foster Road. For anyone looking for a new church home or just one to visit, come worship with us any Sunday morning at 10:30. Everyone is welcome. The scripture selected for our opening this morning is Psalm 100, taken from the New King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. A song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness to his people. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, not we ourselves.
Amen.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, we're here today. We thank you for family and friends. We thank you, Lord, that we were able to fellowship with one another. And now, Lord, as we come to worship you in our service this morning, I pray that you would be with us, that you would help us, Lord, to put our focus on you and the other things, put them to the back of our minds. We look to you, Lord, for our help and strength. And we ask this in your blessed Son's name. Amen and amen. Would you please stand at this time and greet each other and pass the peace? So it'd be sometime after
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have our call to worship from Psalm 118. And when the words come up, we'll follow along.
Would you please stand for the call to worship, please?
The Lord is my strength and my power. The Lord has become my salvation.
There are joyous songs of victory in the tents of the righteous.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has chastened me sorely, but has not given me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. Amen. You may be seated.
All right, so we've got birthdays and anniversaries, and then we have announcements. I'm pretty sure we have some. Okay. So, birthdays. We got Lucian Grazulis on the 3rd, and anniversary, we have Angela and Matt Netherton on the 3rd.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you,
and many more.
Amen.
All right, what announcements do we have this morning, besides after church we're going to decorate after church for Christmas?
David.
Call the church office at 661-6265 for assistance.
Okay. That's it.
Are you sure?
No.
Would you stand for our opening hymn? At the name of Jesus.
Thank you for placing Jesus in such an accessible place for me to find him and receive his gracious light. Please give me the wisdom to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us prepare for our tithes and offerings. Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come today. We come seeking. But we come mindful that you are the source. We come in this season of thanksgiving, thankful for all that you give to each of us. We ask, Lord, that you take our tithes and our offerings, multiply them, and use them to further your kingdom here on earth. In Christ's name, amen.
everyone.
Good morning.
Now, Jan's ill today, so I'm going to read for her. This week's scripture reading is from John 9, verses 39 to 41. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who will see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with them heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated, except for the choir. awesome. That's good.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let us pray. God, I need your grace to have sight, to see as you see. I pray for this in my own life. I pray for this in other lives who are listening to this. God, help us to see our sin as you do. God, uncover the blind spots. Just remove them that we might see rightly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As we prepare to hear the message the Holy Spirit has for us, I invite you to bow your heads. Take a moment of quiet. Breathe. Allow the peace of Christ to wash over you. Father, as we prepare to hear the message, we know that your Spirit has given to Pastor Ted. We ask, Lord, that you strengthen our pastor, that you give him courage to speak your words, to be your instrument always. And further, Lord, we ask that in hearing your word, we may be empowered so that when we leave this place, we can spread your word to the world. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. While the kids are...
Frank, could you go get the kids some and get them?
While the kids are coming, I want to say this. We thank everyone who had a chance to participate in the spiritual needs workshop we had last Saturday, I believe it was. Yeah, last Saturday. We thank Sandra Boykins and her team for putting that together. And if you missed it, boy, you missed it. We had a blessing. Amen. We had a great time, and we thank the Lord that we were able to do that. So hopefully we'll have something else, some more workshops planned for the future.
Okay, well, today, they're coming, okay. Here, kids, okay? Come on, Yasmin. You know, today we're going to talk about blindness and that there's more than one way of being blind. Have you ever played a game like Blind Man's Bluff, where you blindfold somebody and then they try to find the people? Or have you ever had a pinata where they would blindfold you and then you take a stick and you try to hit the pinata but you can't see it? Or maybe you played Pin the Tail on the Donkey, where they blindfold you. Maybe those are games they don't play anymore. I don't know. I've played those games.
I do too.
You know, your eyes are really a marvelous thing. I want to tell you some things. Everybody has two eyes, and it takes both of them to make a proper picture. But your brain interprets what your eyes are seeing. So you can process all sorts of things. Your eyes can see over a million variations in color. You know, when you have a color box that has 96 different colors, your eyes can see over a million variations. And there's muscles behind your eyes that are extremely fast, and they never rest. And the eye is so complex, it's just amazing. But some people don't have eyes that see perfectly. Some people like me have to wear glasses. Some people wear contacts. You might see some people with a patch over one eye because they had a problem, or some people might be blind. They might have been born that way, or they might have had an accident. But in the story today that the scripture is going to talk about, Jesus heals a blind man. This man was blind from birth. And they decided to heal the man, so he took some dirt and he mixed it up. He spit in it, and then he mixed it up, and then he put it, on the guy's eyes. Could you imagine that? And then he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and if he did that, he would be able to see. And the man did, and he could see, and it was a miracle. Now, some believed that it wasn't really that man, it was some other man. Mm-hmm. And some believed that he wasn't really born blind. But some people were angry because Jesus worked on the Sabbath, which is the day that they weren't allowed to work. But they were suspicious and upset, and because of that, they missed seeing and appreciating the great miracle that Jesus did. So see, some people are blind even though they can see. You know, sometimes when I go to the store and there might be somebody outside who doesn't have a coat on and is really cold, and I don't even notice them because I'm so preoccupied. Or there might be someone inside the store that wants to reach something on a high shelf that can't reach it, but I'm not paying attention. And I'm kind of blind in that way because I don't see what they need. But God, did you know that, first let me tell you, did you know that our hearts have eyes? And that's kind of how your hearts have eyes. When you see people that are in need and you help them, then that's how your heart helps them. We don't look at just our problems. And sometimes we have blinders on. But God wants us to recognize that He's the light. He's our vision and our desire. And Jesus is the light of the world. And our heart eyes, the ones in our heart, should seek Jesus. So that's how some people missed out on Him and the amazing things that Jesus did while He was on earth. So let's keep our eyes spiritually open and wide open so that we can look around and know what others need. And we can keep our minds on God and what He can do in our lives, okay? Amen. So let's pray together today. Dear God, thank You for Your miraculous work. You do amazing things. Help us to see those things, Lord. And help our heart eyes to stay focused on You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys for coming up today.
Folks, smile. Come on, it ain't that bad, okay? It really isn't. Look out, look over here. Look, the sun's out. Okay, it's a little, well, it got a little warm in here this morning, but it's kind of, everything is going to be okay. It is. Jesus says it's going to be all right. So don't you worry your pretty little heads off, all right? Well, good morning to you. This morning we want to talk about something that's very near and dear to my heart, and that is clinging to Jesus, clinging to the Lord, holding on to Jesus. And this morning we're going to put our focus on holding on to Jesus rather than holding on to some doctrines that are contrary to what Jesus is teaching. And holding on to Jesus or cling to him instead of traditions that are not biblical and that are not that doesn't go with the teachings of Jesus. So this morning we want to look at a story about how what Jesus does for a blind man. You see, Jesus heals a blind man, and that put this blind man on a journey of discovery that will last him for eternity. And you see, the Pharisees, they show themselves to be the blind ones, but because they knew the scriptures and they knew their laws. But you know what, folks? They were far from knowing the God of creation. They were far from knowing Jesus, whose heart is full of love and light. So as Christ followers, we have got to cling to Jesus rather than become like the Pharisees. They valued knowing about God more than walking with God. So we're all on a journey of discovery. And when it comes to knowing God and his core nature of self-giving love, and all that's revealed in Christ. So on a scale of 1 to infinity on this journey, I'm probably, I don't know, maybe a 6 or 7. I got a long way to go. But you know what? That's okay, because God is never in a hurry. Have you ever got that sense that God is never in a hurry? He does things on his own good time. Amen? Now, we get in a hurry, but God's never, never in a hurry. He's never in a hurry. You see, he meets us right where we are. Right where we are. Right where you are this morning. Jesus will meet you. And you know what else? He'll walk with you one step at a time. So, I don't know where you are on your journey of discovery this morning. You might be at a 0 this morning, but you may be 100. But I want you to know that the best is yet to come. You see, coming to Christ is actually just the beginning point of our faith. That's where we start. It's not the end. It's the starting line, not the finish line. So, Paul wrote to a church in Colossae, the epistle to the Colossians, about their journey of discovery. Now, on a scale of 1 to infinity, I wonder where Paul would say he would be. I'm guessing he'd probably say he's back maybe with us, maybe a 5 or 6. Not because he didn't know much, but because he knew how infinitely good God's nature is, and as compared to our limited understanding. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this is Colossians 2:23. Now that's a lot of wisdom and knowledge, and it's all found in Jesus. So we've got a wonderful story today, and I am very, very excited, very happy, because it's going to show us some incredible truths about God's eternal nature. This comes from John 9:1-41. The story of the Lord healing a blind man. You see, the blind man is healed by the kindness of Christ. Now, I want you to notice in this story, he didn't ask for it. He probably woke up that morning assuming the greatest thing that could happen to him that day was somebody would give him a little bit of money so he could buy him something to eat. But you know what, folks? Instead, he got something much better. The Lord loves to surprise us. Amen? And he loves to surprise us with good things. Because why? God is good. That's his nature. You know? So, he started his own journey of discovery that particular day. And we're going to see a progression of understanding about Jesus. You see, when the blind man's neighbor asked who healed him, he told him in 9:11, he says, "The man they call Jesus." Later on, when he was brought in front of the Pharisees, his understanding changed to, "He's a prophet." 9:17. And even later,
He was again pressured by the Pharisees. The man understood that Jesus was surely from God in 9:33. And finally, he came to see Jesus as the Son of Man and worshiped him. So his journey of discovery began to start that day. His journey began. He crossed the starting line. And on a scale of 1 to infinity, he's probably right there with me right now. Now, there's a few things in this story that can help you, all of us, move forward on our journey. Now, if you're a zero, maybe this will help you take the next step in your journey. And if you're 100, maybe after listening and reflecting on what God's Word teaches, you'll go from 100 to 101. Let's see. There's two important things I want to discuss with you this morning. First, hold tightly to Jesus and loosely the doctrine. Now, don't get me wrong and misunderstand me. Doctrine is great. It is. But sometimes, in this case of the Pharisees, they used this doctrine. They used it wrong. They were hanging on to this doctrine, which was not correct, and yet they were holding pretty loosely to Jesus. So hold tightly, loose and loosely the doctrine. You see, the doctrine of the Pharisees was this, that if you sin, God will do something terrible to you. In this case, they thought he punished the blind man. He says he would inflict punishment on you. You'll get sick and disease and leprosy. You know, these at that time were understood to be because someone sinned, or maybe someone sinned in their family. This was their doctrine. And by doctrine, I mean their beliefs and teaching. This is why, if you notice, the disciples, they asked Jesus about the blind man. They said, "Who sinned, Lord, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You see, even the disciples, they held to this doctrine. But the Lord made it very clear, like he always do. He says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," in 9:3. But that didn't stop the Pharisees from clinging to their beliefs. You and I need to be people who hold tightly to Jesus and loosely to doctrine. And when I say hold tightly to Jesus, I mean our top priority ought to be to listen to Jesus and his teachings and do what he says. When I was growing up, Big Mama used to always tell us, "Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm telling you. Do this to you. Do that to you." Always telling you, do the right thing. But of course, me being who I am at that time, I would go listen to my friends every time, and I'd get in a world of trouble. Hold tightly to Jesus, but loosely the doctrine. You see, you and I need to be people who hold tightly. Jesus and his teaching and listening to him ought to be at the very top of our list. We need to do our best, listen to me, to put his teaching into practice. It's not just to know, not just enough to know the practice, the teachers. You've got to put his teaching into practice. He's our Lord, and to be Lord means he has absolute authority in our lives. So, if we hold tightly to Jesus, we will love God, we're going to love our neighbor, we're going to love our enemies. And if we hold tightly to Jesus, we're going to walk with a beautiful mix of humility and power in the Holy Spirit to overcome sin and all the evil that's in the world. Holding tightly to Jesus means staying connected to him in prayer and worship, because he is the very source and energy of our lives. It means walking in abiding fellowship with him, because he is risen and he is present and relevant in our world. And the longer we hold to him, tightly to him, the more we become like him. The more we become transformed into his likeness, his courage, and self-giving. If you're having some trouble this morning serving the Lord, if you're having some trouble walking in the light and staying in the light, I would encourage you this morning to hold tightly to the Lord. Hold tightly to him. Immerse yourself in his word, in his teaching, in prayer. And then you began to understand and be able to walk with him and have that courage. You can't do it by yourself. It must be under the power of our Lord. The longer we hold to him, the more we become like him. Holding tight to Jesus is what is termed in Matthew 7:14, when he talks about the road is narrow. That's what holding tightly to Jesus means. That's a narrow road. So, as I said earlier, when I said hold loosely to doctrine, don't misunderstand me. We need good, sound, biblical doctrine. We need to hold it, but we need to hold it loosely, because this story that we just were talking about, the blind man, it shows how that doctrine will change over time, and we encounter and grow in our understanding of God revealed through Jesus Christ. You see, the doctrine presented in this story is a doctrine that was that anyone who was disabled or sick was incurred the punishment of God. And the disciples, they took this doctrine to Jesus, and Jesus turned it upside down. He refuted it. In fact, he said that was untrue. And he demonstrated how untrue it was by simply doing this. He healed the man, giving him sight. And from that point forward, that doctrine was invalid. And the disciples would learn to hold loosely to that doctrine, but tightly to Jesus. Now, what was the problem with the Pharisees? The problem with that was they had it backwards. You see, they held tightly to their doctrine, but loosely to Jesus. They lacked the humility to consider some of their teachings and beliefs might be misguided. They were convinced that this man was blind because somebody in his family, committed sin in his life, and that he was a sinner. And even though God's son refused that idea and actually healed the man, and that proved that God didn't cause his blindness as punishment for sin, they held tightly to their preconceived ideals with a clenched fist. They were not going to let go of that doctrine. You see, it's really shocking when you think about it, because when you see somebody healed like that, they should rejoice, but they didn't rejoice with this man that he could see. Why, he hadn't been able to see for a long time. They didn't respond in wonder and worship the God who gave the man that sight. They didn't share joyfully in that story with their friends and families. And they never stopped to think, just maybe this Jesus guy is who he says he is. He heals the blind. Now that's something the Messiah would do. No, they doubled down on their misguided doctrine, their selfish agenda, because religious people are infected with pride and cannot see what they might, when they might be wrong. Sometimes we think we're so right, we just can't see when we're wrong. Amen? We think everything that we do is right. But hey, you can be wrong. I can be wrong. And we got to be very careful that this doesn't happen to us. You see, a problem in our world today, in our church, is that too many Christians hold tightly to doctrines and loosely to Jesus. We put beliefs about God ahead of walking with God. We are full of ideas about him, but do we truly know him and walk daily with him? It is possible to have a relationship with the Bible, and I never thought of this until I started looking at this sermon. It's possible to have a relationship with the Bible and not have a relationship with the God of the Bible. This was the Pharisees. Don't get me wrong, they knew their scriptures, and they knew their law very well. They knew it inside and out, but they were far from knowing the actual God of creation, far from knowing his son, whose heart is full of love and light. Gandhi once said this. He says, "I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. They are so unlike your Christ." Now, what did he mean by this? He meant this. He was drawn to the person of Jesus, his life, his ministry, his teaching, and his willingness to suffer unto death. He was drawn to that. He respected that. He loved that. And Gandhi even learned from the teachings of Jesus through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In fact, Gandhi was one who took Jesus' teaching very seriously. But when he looked at the lives of most Christians, their lives were so unlike the life of Jesus. They didn't take Jesus nor his teachings seriously. They didn't walk with Jesus in a way that made them look like Jesus and have an impact like Jesus. He found Christians to be high on information and doctrine, but low on self-giving love and concern for justice. He would say that Christians hold tightly to their doctrine, but loosely to Jesus. Remember this, dear one. God loves his enemies. He sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God loves his neighbor. You see, and God loves us all with all of his heart, his mind, soul, and strength. And he proved this very fact on the cross and in the resurrection. So, remember this. If you're going to talk like Jesus, then you need to act like Jesus. Amen? The second major theme of this story is that God's love is restorative. God's love is restorative. Now, when you look at a passage 939, this is probably one of the hardest sayings of Jesus that I can think of. He said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." You see, Jesus came into the world for judgment. What? I thought he came to save the world. Well, he did came to save the world. But I'll tell you this. Jesus is the light of the world. And the scripture tells us that if you know something about Jesus, if you've heard the gospel, you see, there's two ways you can respond to the gospel, folks. Two ways. The first way is this. You can repent and realize that you're sinned, that you're a sinner, and ask God for forgiveness. And then he will open up your eyes and take away the spiritual blindness. But if you're one who hears his word and refuses to repent, even though you know you've heard Jesus' word, then you have been judged already. You see what he's saying here? If the Pharisees, they knew who he was, but they wanted nothing to do with him because of their pride and stubbornness. But there were others who heard his word. So he says this. He says, does it mean he came into the world to pronounce guilt and innocence? Is he like a trial judge who hears cases, he listens to witnesses, and then, you know, applies the law, the penalties of the law? He's disconnected, he's impartial. Is he an impartial person of power? That's certainly one way to look at it. And it's the belief and teaching, unfortunately, of many of our brothers and sisters even today. But if we took that idea to Jesus, the way the disciples took their doctrine to Jesus, there might be another way to see and understand. You see, Jesus taught us and demonstrated that God is always first and foremost a loving Father. God always relates to us like a loving Abba, not a disconnected, impartial person of power like a trial judge. And if this Father judges us like a doctor would judge someone who's sick, you know, when you go to your doctor, he looks at your problem. He finds out what's hurting you, and he does this to ultimately make you well. He's not there to punish you because you're sick. He wants to make you well. You see, a doctor knows a patient can't be punished you can't use punishment to heal a person out of leprosy or blindness. But that need should be treated until healed. Jesus said for judgment he came into the world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Now, If you look at that on the surface, it sounds like a mixture of restorative justice, the blind will see, and punitive justice, those who see will become blind. But if you look at it in reality, both are restorative, because in 1 John 4 and 8, God's core nature is self-giving love. God is love. That's his nature. Everything he does is initiated out of love. Even making those who see become blind. God's justice is always restorative. So if Jesus came to make those who see become blind, there's a loving purpose behind it. And remember, God did not send his son into the world to condemn it. He didn't do that. Keep this in mind. But to save the world through him. We're going to look at a perfect example of this. This is Paul. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, meaning he knew probably more than any Pharisee. He knew the law. He knew. He thought he was really doing something good by persecuting Christians those days. And he held tightly to that doctrine, but he didn't know about Jesus. But I tell you what, folks, he was on his way to Damascus one day, and he came, and he had an encounter with the risen Christ. I'll tell you this. If you've ever had an encounter with the risen Christ, you'll never be the same. Never, ever be the same. Paul was never the same. He knew that he had to get things right. He knew that he was faced with something that was very different than what he was doing. You see, and in this case, Paul literally went blind. He was blinded. Why? Was God punishing Paul? Was God taking out his vengeance on Paul? You know, because of his persecution? Was he intending to hurt Paul? Make him suffer? No. God was doing what? He was getting Paul's attention. God's purpose was to restore Paul, not to punish him. So, we all don't have that story like Paul. But Paul's story does illustrate God's core nature of self-giving, restorative love. God's approach to our sinfulness and brokenness is like a great physician. Sometimes, surgery and physical therapy is pretty painful. But the pain is temporary until we are fully, fully well. And remember this. We are all on a journey of discovery. All of us. On a scale of 1 to infinity, some of us are at a step 0. Others are maybe a 7, a 25, or a 100. But the way to go forward, dear one, is to hold tightly to Jesus. I wonder this morning, are you holding tightly to the Master? Are you holding tightly to some tradition or doctrine? Do you need to take the teachings of Jesus more seriously and put them into practice? That's important. Reading is great and learning, but put those teachings into practice. That means you go out and you do what Jesus said you ought to do. Now, if you're one who's wondering how to start, and I know you are because I can read your mind, a great way to start holding tightly to Jesus is to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. These are the very chapters that comprise Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. If you want to know more about Jesus, read about him in the Bible. You see, these are his very core teachings. These are what Gandhi read. These are what many Christians, they read and they learn and they put them into action. Something else you might want to do, perhaps you could gather together with one another. And maybe you all can commit to holding tightly to Jesus and putting those practices into teaching. You could commit to reading the Sermon on the Mount each week and put into practice one thing from his teaching, just one thing. And share your struggles, share your success, share God, share how God shows up in the midst of your journey. While you're on this journey of discovery, I hope and pray that the Lord will take away those spiritual blinders that maybe that's on your eyes this morning. Maybe you need to understand that just because you think you see, just because you think you know, you really don't know. Maybe we need to take these teachings of Jesus, learn from them, put them in practice, and ask the Lord to take off those spiritual blinders. Help us to see more clearly. Help us to be able to see what the Lord has for us. And folks, I got to tell you, you're not going to be able to do it watching TV all day, talking to me. I'm not talking because I know y'all don't watch TV, right? Everybody in here reads their Bible. I told you I can see your halos. I can see every one of them. There's a few in here that look a little tarnished, you know. But stop watching so much TV. Spend more time in what? Prayer. Did you pray this morning? Amen. Will you pray tonight? Do you pray for each other? You pray for your family? I hope so. Because this is a way that you cling to Jesus. I can tell you, folks, you wander away from the Lord. The enemy is out there just ready to swallow you up. The Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. Stay awake. Stay sober. And wait on the Lord and remember that he's coming back. And remember this, dear one. Always cling to Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We give thanks to you, O Lord. Help us, Lord, to hold on. Help us, Lord, to hold tightly to you. And help us to always remember that we need to take you seriously. We ask, Lord, that you would be in our hearts even from this point on, that we might go about, instead of holding on to some doctrine, but holding on to you. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we give the invitation this morning, I want you to be reminded that to hold on to Jesus, you got to know something about him. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, not just know about him. You've got to know him. You've got to know him, and you've got to walk with him. And how do you do that? You commit your ways to the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord. The invitation is out for anyone this morning that might need to recommit. Maybe you need a touch from the Lord this morning. Maybe things are not going right in your life and you can't understand why. Maybe you keep bumping your head against that wall every day wondering, Lord, why do I keep doing this same stupid thing? Somebody told me that the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing over and over that you know is wrong. That's crazy, isn't it? But some of us, we do that. So the invitation is open this morning for anyone. The altar is open. Jesus is calling, waiting on you to give, commit to him. And if you know the Lord already, awesome. But you might need to restart. The altar is open for you as well. Let us all stand.
Our hymn of invitation is Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. What a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture, now birth on my side. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest.
God is my Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. Now before you sit down, I want you to know this. I want you to know this. And I want you to look, just look to the side or to the front or the back. Look, just look around. Look at each other. And remember this. You belong to Jesus. Amen? Every one of you belong to the Lord. You are the sheep of His pasture. That means that He loves you very, very much. And the good shepherd, what does he do? He takes care of his sheep. Amen? So don't you go out of here unhappy, mad, hungry. Well, you may be hungry. But remember this. He loves you. And he wants to take care of you. Amen? Amen. God bless you this morning. You may be seated.
And now, as we're getting ready to go our separate ways, let us remember everyone who has any difficulty that we can pray for them. That is so important. And if you can't find anyone who has a need, pray for our pastor. As long as he can preach like today, he's great. So let's just keep him great, okay? And welcome to all of our friends who have joined us here today. I would love to call names, but I learned a long time ago not to call names because I forget what they are. But anyway, let us all remember everyone and shake a hand with a stranger. And remember God. And join me, please, in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be friendly and be safe as we leave here today. Let us make a real commitment to come back next Sunday, join and hear what our pastor has to tell us. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and make his face to shine upon you, and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand for our closing hymn, Lift High the Cross? Lift high the cross. Thank you.